Bring greetings to each one in Christ's name this morning. Can say it's already been a blessing to be here. I feel like God has again been giving me a lot of confirmations this morning. I was a little insecure about the message this morning. It wasn't what I had planned to share. I've been sitting here it's like the discussion in Sunday school just about the truth and how that affects our lives and so on. And then the opening meditation could have been condensed from some of the message this morning. Who do people say that I am? The message this morning is who he says he is. Who does Christ say that he is? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 8. This morning. I think we'll stand and read. I'll read John chapter 8, verse 12 through the end of the chapter. And then we will begin. John chapter 8, verse 18. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I came, or whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he saith unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. And the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and we are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, said unto them, If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast the devil, and Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I would say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you, but I know him, and I keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out through the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Thank you. You may be seated. I think verse 59 is probably the saddest verse in that whole chapter. They took up stones to stone him. And it says that Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple through the midst of them. He became invisible. You know, what an opportunity they had just had. And they wanted to stone him. I think that is so incredibly sad. This morning, I'm just going to go down through this chapter and make some comments. This is a powerful chapter. One I struggled with for a while, actually, because I just struggled to get a message from this chapter, and it's just not anymore. I think there's probably several here. Verse 12, Then said Jesus again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Christ telling them who he is. Now for a little bit of an English and a Greek lesson. This statement, I am. The King James Version adds the word he here and there in the chapter to make it a little more readable. The Greek word eigo, it's two words, Greek words eigo and eimi. Eigo is a just simply means I. It's a first person pronoun I. It's interesting is that it's only used when it's used emphatically. This is not just, I'm telling you about my day, what I did yesterday. This is I. This is me. I'm talking about myself. I am up here speaking to you. The emphasis is on me. It's used when to emphasize me, or the person who's speaking. I, me, is first person, singular, present, indicative. Now, I had to basically Google that to figure out what all that meant. If we have an English teacher here, they could probably explain this better than I can. But first person, in other words, I'm talking about myself. Singular, I alone. I'm not talking about anyone else. This is me that I'm talking about. Present, right now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, it's now. And then indicative, which basically means it is a mood used to state facts or reality rather than doubts or wishes. So when Christ says, I am, he is not talking about I wish or what he wishes he were or what he will be or what he could be. He is stating a fact of what he currently is. I am. I exist, which is interesting, because Jehovah, which was the word they would have used in the Old Testament, simply means the self-existent eternal. And I think it's significant. Christ is saying, I exist. Here he's the first verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. There is no other. I'm not talking about anyone else. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about what I will be in the future. I'm talking about what I am right now. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. How do we walk in the light? Often our emphasis on, we talk about walking in the light. We talk about being transparent. We talk about being open. But what does it truly mean to walk in the light? Here Christ says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Follow him. How do you follow Christ? The word follow means proper, or it says properly to be in the same way with, that is to accompany, specifically as a disciple. Think about the way the disciples followed Christ. They were simply with him all the time. I mean, when he walked from one town to the other, they're walking with him. When he sat down to eat, they're sitting down to eat with him. They were simply with him all the time. That's the way the disciples back then, when they talked about a disciple of someone, that's the way they learned to be like the master, like the teacher. They were with him. In the same way with him, I tend to separate my walk with Christ from my everyday life. I'm driving down the road. I'm not necessarily thinking about driving down the road with Christ. Maybe it's because I'm driving too fast. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like to go that fast. He walked everywhere he went. Don't read that he ever went faster than a walk. But anyway, a company. Is that the way I experience Christ? Accompany him every day. Aware of his presence. Aware of his commands. His example. Seeking to learn from him. Listen to him. Talk honestly with him. That can be a real blessing. To simply talk honestly with Christ. Do you know how hard that is sometimes? To simply tell to simply state out loud the truth of a situation. We tend to try to analyze and spin and all that thing instead of simply stating out loud God's truth about the situation. What does God say about this situation? It's a real blessing. Walk honestly with him. Pharisees said, I'll bear this record of myself, that record is not true. Christ says, though I, again we have the emphasized I, though I bear record of myself. If I would stand up here and talk to you like that, you'd get tired of it pretty quick. And it may be why one of the reasons that they hated him as bad as they did. Though I judge, he says he doesn't judge. But he says if he does, or I guess the first one here is, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. But you can't tell. So in this chapter, we're going to keep, as I go down through, I'll try to point them out. But we have that phenomenon quite often in here. Though I bear record of myself. Verse 8, verse 15, he says, ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Verse 16, yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I, emphasized I, am not alone. No, I'm sorry, that one doesn't. If I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone. Here we just simply have the I exist. Think about that. I exist not alone. But I and the Father that sent me. Here he's pointing to his Father. Who his Father is, that's important. Who his Father is. Again, verse 18, I am. Emphasized I. I exist. Who of us can say that? I exist. I am one that bear witness of myself. And the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Again, we have that same combination. I exist, one that bear witness of myself. You see how this would have gotten under their skin? If you didn't believe that Jesus was who he says he was, the Son of God, this would really have bugged you. This man is saying things that are preposterous if they're not true. And they said unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Do you ever wish that you knew God better? How do you get to know the Father? I think maybe sometimes I've been looking in the wrong places. Jesus said, if you had known me, you would have known the Father. It's not that hard. You need to know me, and then you'll know the Father. We tend to think of the two as two, the one is this way, the other is this way, and we pick out which one we like the best. No, Christ says, you love me. You know me, you'll know my Father. John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus told them, says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Why do you read the scriptures? We're going to get into that a little more later on. But think about that. Are you reading the scriptures for eternal life? Or are you reading the scriptures to know Jesus? Verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. The place where he comes from is inaccessible to man. The place where he's going is inaccessible to man. Why can't we go where he is? Someone want a chance to answer? Someone want to answer that? Why can't we go? Why can't we be where he is? He says you're going to die in your sins. Why?
Sin can't be there. We need a redeemer.
Okay. Sin can't be there. We need a redeemer. What actually keeps us out of heaven? If we get to the end of life, we pass from this life, and we don't make it into heaven, what actually keeps us out of heaven? Self, okay.
Unbelief.
So, I hope you can follow me here. But often, I think we tend to think of our sins as keeping us out of heaven. But is it actually what keeps us out of heaven? Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he saith unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said, verse 24, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Jesus is saying, in my own words, I presently, right now, exist from above. Ye are of this world. You're from down here. I alone presently exist, not of this world. And he's stating this as a fact. This is not a doubt. This is not a wish. This is not something that he's only imagining. He comes from there, and he's going back there. But they're not. Because they're of this world. This morning, when I say that sin is not ultimately what keeps us out of heaven, think about it this way. Sin can be forgiven. There is a remedy for sin. Sin can be overcome. There's victory. Sin can't keep us out of heaven if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the remedy. He's the satisfaction. He's the sacrifice. He's the only way to the Father. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's why, partly why this morning I keep coming back to that thought of Christ being the truth. We tend to think of something. If something is factual, it's true. Well, that's true. If something's factual, it's true. But the truth is not a fact. It's a person. He is a person, the truth. The truth that brings life, spiritual life, eternal life, is a person, not a fact, not a body of facts. He's also the way. And the way is not the way we tend to think of a way as being a road or a way of doing things, which it can involve that. But the way, again, is a person. And then the life, of course. But the only way for us to go where he is to believe that he is the remedy for me. Otherwise, you're separate from God, and you will die in your sins. And so I'd like to suggest that sin is not the cause of us not getting to heaven, but it's the result of the choice to remain in the condition that keeps us out of heaven. Because the sin can be taken care of. Christ made a way for that to be taken care of. But we choose to stay in a condition that keeps us out of heaven if we don't go there. What is that condition? Jesus lays it out in verses 31 to 37. If you want to just kind of follow along down to verse 31 to 37. Especially verse 34. I think I'll start reading there in verse 34. But look what Jesus says is the reason that you're going to, or one of the reasons is you're going to die in your sins. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And then on down in verse 39, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now ye seek to kill me. So why did they do those things? We tend to say that we talk about our sinful condition, like kind of like it's not our fault. We can't really help that part of our life, that sinful condition. Here Jesus is laying that out for us. I think I might have gotten the references just a little bit wrong here. Verse 39 says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Verse 44, he says this way, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Jesus tells them basically, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. They said God was their father. He says, if you were God's children, you'd love me. And then he makes it real clear to them. He says, the reason you do the things you do is because God is not your father. I would suggest that if you don't make it to heaven, the reason that you're not going to make it there is because God is not your father. Because the work, sin is a result. It's the works that we do because of who our Father is. And I think it's so sad because God wants to be our Father. But like all fathers, He's got rules. He's got requirements. He's got ways that He wants things done and the ways that He wants us to live. And like Elias said, sometimes we're just not willing to live in His house because we think it's too hard. Who is your Father this morning? Christ is pointing us to God. If God is your Father, you will go to heaven. So how do we get there? What are we going to do with that? Going down to verse 30, or back up to verse 31, love these verses. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We talked about truth this morning. And now I have a question. Is the Bible the source of truth? Someone want to answer that? Is the Bible the source of truth? Anybody? Come on, yes, it's not that hard. Okay, is the Bible the source of truth? Yeah. You're not giving me a yes or no answer, which is what I wanted. All right, for some reason everyone wants to qualify that one a little bit. I asked my wife this morning and she said no. I'm going to say no this morning. Do I believe the Bible is true? 100%. Absolutely true. But is it the source of truth? It's a book. It's been translated how many times? There's actually multiple Greek translate, or multiple Greek letters that they use to translate the Bible from. Do I believe the Bible is true? Yes. But do I believe it is the source of truth? No. Because Jesus Christ is truth. And I don't want to separate him from the Word by too much. So, when someone says, I want to know the truth, should we direct them to read the Bible? Did the Pharisees know the Scriptures? The Pharisees read the Scriptures. They knew the Scriptures. But did they know God as their Father? They did not. They knew what the Scriptures said. As a body of facts, or as a body of text, they knew what it said, but they did not know God as their Father. And Jesus made it clear to them that their father was not God. It was the devil. I would suggest that the Scripture is true because it is inspired by the truth and points to the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse 37 to 40 says, And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. The difference that the way we look at the Bible, the difference that it makes in our lives is, I believe, is this. So, if the Bible, the book, is the source of truth, we can look in it for excuses to do whatever we want to do. People use the Bible to justify divorce and remarriage. People, and one guy says he took so-and-so guy to court because he wasn't a brother. And the Bible says, you know, you can't take your brother to court. So it was okay to take his neighbor to court because of whatever he had done. I don't even remember what it was. You see what I'm saying? If the Bible is the source of truth, then we can use it for excuses to do what we want to do. We do things because the Scripture doesn't expressly forbid it. On the other hand, I'll keep going on that just a little bit. If the Bible is the source of truth, the accuracy of translation and interpretation is of utmost importance, and there's only one right one. If the Bible itself is the source of truth, then you have to get the translation perfect, because otherwise, yeah, it's not true. If the Bible is the source of truth, we can get stuck on an application to the point that we can't accept anybody as a brother who doesn't apply it the same way that I do. But when the Bible, the viewpoint that I would like to present is that when the Bible is true because it points to truth, the truth, we get to know Jesus. The Bible points to Jesus as the source of truth. And through him and believing in him, we become children of God. Our Father changes. We get victory over sin. And so the difference that makes in our lives is when we, instead of reading the Scripture to justify ourselves in a certain choice or way of life, we read it to know the heart of Jesus. And when you know him, you don't need your whole life spelled out in detail, because you know what his heart is. You know what he wants. And you're going to apply, you're going to live your life that way. Do you understand the difference? The Bible is true, 100%. But it points, Jesus talking about the scripture says, they are they which testify of me. That's what the scriptures are for, is for us to know Christ. And once you know him, you know his Father. We read it to follow the commands of Jesus, to see what our Father wants us to do. We value brothers who apply the word a little differently than we do. So what is it for this morning? Again, just to emphasize, what is the Bible for? Why was it written? John chapter 20, verse 31. John ends his book. He says this way, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Study the word to know Jesus. Don't study the word to be the one who knows the most scripture and can win all the arguments. I think Ben brought that up in Sunday school this morning. Appreciate that so much. Study the scriptures to know Jesus. The heart of Christ for his kingdom is discipleship. Walk with me. And brotherhood. Walk with your brothers. Discipleship involves walking with him, learning from him, discipline from him. You don't just live any way you please if you're going to walk with Christ. Brotherhood involves loving and appreciating those who also walk with Jesus and seek to know him. Verse 33. Knowing Christ makes us free. They had this discussion about freedom. Jesus says, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. And how sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Interesting that he brings in sin here. It sounds almost like Romans 6, right? "What then? Shall we sin when we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" It's like Paul could have lifted that from what Christ said here. If you commit sin, you're a servant of sin. That's what Jesus said. But here's the interesting thing, and I never thought of this verse in quite this way before. Jesus says, you're a servant of sin, but then he says, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever." So if you're living in sin, you're serving sin. You're not serving God. You're serving sin. But the servant doesn't abide in the house forever. But the Son is there forever. Sin will lose its power. The Son abideth ever. Sin will not rule forever. You know, right now, Satan uses the pleasure and the power of sin to keep people in bondage to him and out of the Father's house. But that condition is limited. The world will pass away and the lust thereof, but the Son abideth ever. Christ lives forever. Therefore, I am. His power sets free. I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, I am. First person. Singular. The only way. Present. Right now. Indicative. Not a wish or a dream, but a fact. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He's making a positive statement of fact here. And again, he goes through, if we go on down to verse 37, he goes through that whole thing of them being of their father, the devil. Verse 39, he says, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." So in other words, if God is your father, you live like God is your father. It's one of the arguments that Peterson used to make was that if the Christians actually believe that God is what he says he is, they don't live like it. This morning, if God is your Father, you will live like it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's walking with Christ. John, back to John chapter 8, verse 40. But now ye seek to kill me, a man who hath told you the truth, which I heard of God. This did not Abraham. And then they tried to claim the being, verse 41, they said to him, we be not born of fornication. They were casting aspersions on his birth, trying to say that he was a child of fornication. They try to get off subject here, make themselves feel better, I guess. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I, again, the emphasized I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. If God is your Father, you will love his Son. You will love his commands. In John chapter 5, he says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. You love his people as well. By this we know that we love the children of God and we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. That's what it means to love God. His commandments aren't a burden, they're a privilege. John chapter 8 again, verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Am I hearing what God is saying this morning? Verse 50. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. If God is our Father, we will honor him. Christ sought to honor his Father. Not only by our words, but by our lives. And not only do we honor Christ by obeying his commands that he's spelled out, but by doing our best to know his heart and to know what he wants and to apply that to life. I don't know if I'm getting across. Like, it's not like we have to get this perfect list of commands out of the scripture and then we keep all 10 of them and then we're good. But what I'd like for us, for myself, is that I would know Christ, know his heart, know what he wants, know how he responds to life, and then live my life out of that. You'll keep all the commands. They're not grievous. They're not burdensome. It's when you know his heart, you know what he wants. You know, you get into a situation, well, it's not spelled out in the scriptures exactly how you should respond to this situation, but if you know Christ, you know how he would respond. And that's the place where I would like to get to, is that I would know him well enough that I would respond like he would. And then we have his promise of eternal life. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And the Jews took issue with it. Christ promising eternal life to those who believed in him and kept his sayings, those who read his word to know him, There's a promise of eternal life. And they said, we know you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. You know, all these good people, they got old and died. And you're saying that they started to make fun of him there. He says, are you greater than Abraham? Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Doesn't, you know, that's not the most important. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. He said, your father, and then he brings in this, you got to love this. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then they said, you're not even 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? Today, in today's world, there are so many people who view followers of Christ as ignorant, weird, crazy, whatever, uneducated, just interesting. I was listening to something the other day, and just the way that the speaker wrote off the values, the things that we value. You know, I think it was the one that was a woman in the home. You know, just writing that off as something kind of old fashioned or not up to, you know, not very smart or whatever. That will happen. People say that the followers of Christ are ignorant, or they make fun of the idea of the divine. And they take for granted that life is all there is. This life is all there is, so get out of it what you can. And they use all kinds of logic to deny who Christ is and their accountability to him. Today they might say, you weren't alive back then. How can you prove that Christ died and rose again? And then Christ, to me, essentially, that's what the Pharisees are doing here. They're trying to make him look like he was ignorant or crazy or whatever. And Jesus comes back. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I. Emphasized I. I am. Not was, not will be. I am. You know, what a chance that they had. And then we have that last verse. They took up stones to cast at him, but he became invisible. This morning, I think, that's the saddest thing that can happen to us, is we've got all of this good information, all of this that can show us the truth. But if we don't want to know him, he becomes invisible, and he's gone. And he said, you're going to die in your sins. He is the way to life, the way to know the Father. He's the truth. He's the truth about existence, about me, about sin, about righteousness. He's life eternal. Eternal life, joyful life, abundant life, get up out of the grave life. And they tried to stone him. And he became invisible, and he will become invisible to us as well. But I love what Peter said, and this is where I think we're at this morning. Jesus says, who do people say that I am? He said, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. But in another place, he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I am. He has the words of eternal life for those who choose to believe in him. Shall we pray?